You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soker. This episode is being released on May 23rd, 2024. And this week we're talking about the decline in memberships among denominations throughout the United States. In an interview recently on the Pro Church Tools podcast, researcher Ryan Burge said, "The future of American religion is the death of denominations as we know them today." Well, if he's right about that, would that be a good thing or a bad thing? I believe it has the potential to be very good, and we'll talk about why that is in this episode. For links to the full interview and some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/05-2324. Now for our discussion this week. Ryan Burge is a researcher as well as a pastor in the American Baptist Church. He writes about the intersection between religion and politics in America on his Substack, Graphs About Religion. I have a free subscription to that. There's also a paid subscription that has additional articles and graphs that he shares every week. He also contributed to the book, The Great Dechurching, which I reviewed on Plain Bible Teaching about 6 months ago. The link to that review will be in the show notes if you want to check that out. He recently appeared, as I mentioned, as a guest on the Pro Church Tools podcast. The entire interview was fascinating, but one statement jumped out at me in particular. I wanted to talk about it here on the podcast. Notice what he said.
The only thing that's growing in a real kind of sustainable way is non-denominational Protestant Christianity. There are 22-ish million people now, probably more than that. But like, that's the future of American religion. The future of American religion is the death of denominations as we know them today. I think in 50 years, there'll be almost no major denominations in the United States, at least not the way that we had them 20 or 30 years ago. It'll be all.
Now, if you want to check out the full interview, the link will be in the show notes. And if you watch that interview, you'll see that he doesn't think that the death of denominations, as he called it, is a good thing. Interestingly, when you watch that video, the first thing that he mentions after that statement he made in the clip that we shared here, first thing he says, the reason why he believes denominations are a good thing is because they help in the case of abuse that is in churches. Now, he mentioned abuse scandals in the Roman Catholic Church and more recently in the Southern Baptist Convention, but instead of seeing those as examples of denominational hierarchies shielding abusers, he believes the problem would be even worse if there wasn't a larger denominational body holding local churches accountable. And I'm sure that he's not alone in that line of thinking. But there are a few points that I want us to consider on the decline of denominations and whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. First is this, the idea of having man-made solutions for sinful conditions. Again, the idea that he put forth in that interview, that denominations are necessary because of cases of sexual abuse, that's a lot like the Israelites thinking that a king was necessary because Samuel's sons were wicked. Notice what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 8. "And it came about when Samuel was old that he appointed his sons judges over Israel. His sons, however, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah, and they said to him, 'Behold, you have grown old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations.'" Now, from a human perspective, this may have seemed like a good solution. Samuel was not going to be around much longer. He appointed his sons as judges over the people, but they were wicked, they were corrupt. So the people said, "Well, we want to have a king like all the nations who can rule over us and judge us instead." The problem with that was that by calling for a king, they were actually rejecting God as their king. Notice what God said to Samuel. "Listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." There may have been a real problem here where Samuel's sons, who were wicked individuals, they were being placed as judges over the people. That was a problem. That needed to be dealt with. But their solution was, "We need to have a king." Well, that wasn't God's solution. In the same way, you have examples of abuse and these things happening, and the solution that some people believe we need is more denominational oversight and more or bigger or stronger denominational structures who can hold local churches accountable. But is that God's plan to handle the affairs of the church? Well, that gets us to our second point, that denominations are not part of God's plan. Jesus built one church. Notice what it says in Matthew 16, beginning in verse 16. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it." Jesus said he was going to build one church. I will build my church. He did not say, I will build my churches. But not only that, but the Lord expects his people in his church to have unity. Before his crucifixion, he prayed this to the Father, "I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me." His prayer was for unity. The denominational world does not have unity with one another. And that mindset that embraces denominationalism, where you can have all these different groups separated from one another, is the same mindset that existed in the church at Corinth, and Paul wrote to correct them on that. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 1, beginning in verse 10. "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" And of course, the answer to those questions, no, Paul was not crucified for them. They were not baptized in the name of Paul. They were not to follow after men or line up behind certain men as if they were part of that party or that group. Denominations represent divisions among those who claim to believe in Christ. Their very existence promotes the idea of division. We are to follow Christ and be part of his church. The third point is that the Lord designed local churches to be autonomous. In that interview, Ryan Burge described this as fragmented, suggesting that this was a bad thing. Yet this fragmentation is really the New Testament concept of autonomy. Peter explained that elders are to oversee the flock or the church that is among them. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 2, "Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness." He is describing the concept of local church autonomy, that each church is self-governing. There's not some denominational body that is overseeing them. There's not some group that's overseeing a group of local churches. You have local churches that are overseen by a group of elders in that church, and that's the Lord's design, and it's self-governing. It's autonomous. And autonomy is actually a blessing. Some people might think that this is a hindrance. Autonomy is actually a blessing for us in our local churches, because autonomy helps prevent the spread of error. If churches are tied together, error can spread through them more efficiently. Autonomy also allows churches to work more efficiently. Now, this goes against the idea that some people have that, well, if we need to work, then we need to have some bigger structure and pool our money together and all of us get together and do this work. Many believe that that's what we need to be doing. They think a larger structure means more can be done. But the reality is, the larger the hierarchy and the bureaucracy, the more inefficient an organization becomes. We see that in the government. We see that in business. It's also the case in religious organizations as well. And autonomy is a blessing because it encourages local work. Rather than church just sending money off to some denominational body somewhere and think that, well, now we've done the Lord's work. Autonomy means every church does its own work. Now, for more on each of those points, check out the article that I wrote, The Blessing of Autonomy, that goes into those in more detail. That will be linked in the show notes. But the fourth and final point I want to talk about here today is this. The death of denominations is not enough. Non-denominational churches are growing, but simply being non-denominational isn't good enough. We need to abandon man-made religion entirely and make sure that we are part of the Lord's church and working together in it, following the pattern that is found in the Word of God. That means doing the work that God has given the church to do. It means worshiping God in the way that is pleasing to Him. That means our churches are organized in the way that we find in the New Testament according to that pattern. It means that we teach the whole counsel of God and only what we find authorized in the Word of God, which includes teaching the plan of salvation as it is described in the New Testament, particularly following the examples in the book of Acts as we see the gospel spreading to different places and how people obeyed the gospel there. You can read more about each of those points. We don't have time here to get into all of them in detail. In the article I wrote a few years ago called Why Being Non-Denominational Is Not Good Enough. That is also linked in the show notes. Non-denominational churches can be just as problematic as denominational churches. We need to find the church that is described in the New Testament instead. So in summary, membership in denominations is declining, and this is good since denominationalism was never part of the Lord's plan. However, someone leaving a man-made denomination and joining a man-made non-denominational church is still not where the Lord wants him to be. We need to make sure that we are faithful members in the Lord's church, not part of a church that was invented in the mind of man. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. Hope you found this discussion to be helpful. For links to the video interview or the podcast episode that we talked about, as well as some other related materials, some were mentioned in the episode and then others that I'm going to include in there as well, those are going to be in the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/05-2324. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others who'd be interested, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer to watch this on video, then that option is there for you. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos that we post here from time to time. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion, or in this case, there's a podcast episode that you think would be good to talk about here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.